It's episode 529 of the Locked On Texas Rangers podcast. I'm here to rank the 10 best Rangers free agents since the turn of the century. How high will Marcus Semien and Corey Seager stack on this list? All that and more coming up on this episode of Locked On Rangers. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patter, here today to rank the 10 best Rangers free agents since the turn of the millennia. Not just the century, but the millennia. But first, I want to thank you guys so much for making Locked On Rangers your first listen of the day. If you're not already, go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Bryce Patrick, follow the show at Locked On Rangers, and subscribe on YouTube or wherever the heck you get your podcast. Now, there has been some very good free agents. People might have forgotten. People have forgotten because it happened last year, but it still happened. The Rangers still have Corey Seager and Marcus Semien, two phenomenal free agents. But are they the best Rangers free agents since the turn of the century? Well, they haven't played a single game for the Rangers yet. Major League Baseball could collapse and never play a game again. So it'd be hard for me to know exactly where to rank them. But I did my best. I did my very best to rank them. And, you know, I included things like how the players did with the Rangers, what they were like beforehand, how big a deal it was that they signed with the Rangers, all that. But a lot of it had to do with their performance with the Rangers and how well they did there. Now, number one on my list, I feel like this is very obvious. Like, if I didn't do this, it would be sacrilege. But the number one Rangers free agent is Adrian Beltre. Of course. Of course, it's Adrian Beltre. He is the best Rangers free agent that they have ever signed. I mean, A-Rod was close. This was really close. But Adrian Beltre, just what he did and being with the Rangers as long as he did and the team success that he had while a part of the Rangers is just so high up there. He made three All-Star teams with the Rangers. He only made one All-Star team before he came to Texas, and that was literally the year before in Boston at age 31, which is absolutely insane that Adrian Beltre didn't make an All-Star team before that. I mean, the year that he had 48 home runs, he finished second in MVP voting and, earned a Silver Slugger, but like he also didn't get an All-Star selection that year, and it makes me absolutely insane. He also only had two Gold Gloves at that point. Didn't win any Gold Gloves when he was with the Dodgers. Like, how does that make any sense? He had been a phenomenal defensive third baseman for his entire career, and it was just when he got to Seattle, actually not even his first year in Seattle, it took until his age 28 season for him to win his first Gold Glove, also proving Gold Gloves are a sham. There's no way there are people that are that much better than him in every league. It's just absolutely bonkers. But he had three All-Star appearances in Texas, including his first year, 2011, 2012, and 2014. He hit 30 home runs four times in his 7 years in Texas. The guy was absolutely crucial to this team. He was just so ridiculously good for all those years. He finished third in MVP voting in 2012, top 20 in 2011, seventh in 3 years, actually, in 2013, seventh in 2015, and seventh in 2016. For some reason, he didn't win All-Star nominations in 2015 and 16, which still boggles my mind. Like, how he wasn't an All-Star every single year. He also didn't win it in 2013. All those years we finished 7th in MVP voting, he wasn't an All-Star. Like, how does that make any sense at all? This guy is ridiculous. He had finished, you know, number 3 in MVP voting the year before in 2012, and then 2013, they're just like, I don't really feel like it. I don't really feel like it. That was a year he finished with an on-base of .371 and a slugging percentage of .509. He hit 30 home runs that year. Just like, no, not an All-Star, while also being the best defensive third baseman in baseball. Like, sure, okay, cool, totally fine. Makes me absolutely insane every time I look at it. But, man, this guy was just phenomenal. He had 199 home runs with Texas. Could have had one more home run. Just one more home run and would have been at an even 200. Played with Texas longer than he played with anywhere else. He played 1,098 games versus LA. He played 966 games. He loved it here. His career slash line with Texas, a 304 batting average, a 357 on base, and a 509 slugging percentage, a 128 OPS plus. This guy was just the model of consistency, the model of fun. Just everything about him was just so important. In 8 years with Texas, he had a 41.1 career WAR, according to Baseball Reference. It's just absolutely bonkers. His career average for WAR in 162 games is 5.2. The guy was a legend, a consummate professional, and just absolutely lovable. He loved the game of baseball, and watching him play it, he made you love baseball too, which was just so much fun. And, you know, we're going to go ahead with a stark contrast, and the guy who comes next about how Rangers fans feel about him now. But this guy deserves to be very high up. It's Alex Rodriguez. Yes, I included A-Rod in here. He only played with the Texas Rangers for 3 years and then got traded for an all-star, Alfonso Soriano. I always forget that he was in the deal. I literally always just think, oh, it's just Joaquin Arias. And so we got literally nothing for the deal. But no, Alfonso Soriano was in that deal. Because looking at like, oh, I thought Alfonso was a free agent because, you know, I was much younger back then. I wasn't as closely paying attention to the ins and outs of baseball and the Texas Rangers as well. But no, he is not a... He was not a free agent signing for the Rangers, so he cannot be included in this list. But A-Rod was. He played in all 162 games in his first two seasons. He only missed one game in his third season, which is when he won the MVP. He finished second MVP voting in 2002, sixth in MVP voting in 2001. He was an All-Star and a Silver Slugger in all 3 years. He won Gold Gloves in his second 2 years in Texas. The guy was an absolute beast in Texas. It's the shortest place he ever played for. He only played 3 years there. He played seven in Seattle and 12 with the Yankees. But in 485 games, he had 156 career home runs. He also had 44 stolen bases, a career slash line of 305, 395, 615. That's an OPS over 1,000 for a 3 year span. This guy was unreal. And yeah, he's kind of a tool. He's actually a very big tool. He is very insufferable. And paying him that much money kind of handicapped the rest of the Rangers because they couldn't afford decent pitching. The rest of their offense was pretty good. They also had a Pudge Rodriguez and a couple other guys you might have heard of in that offense, but they just could not get pitching to complement that team and make them competitive. So it leaves a bad taste in the mouth. But man, was he such an excellent player here. He was already really good when the Rangers signed him. I mean, he was going into his age 25 season. He already had four All-Star appearances. He already had four Silver Sluggers as well. The guy already had a top three MVP finish, and actually a top his second MVP and MVP voting in 1996 as a 20-year-old. That's some Mike Trout stuff. He also finished third in MVP voting in 2000, the year before he went to the Rangers. He got MVP votes in every single full season except for 1997, not a super great year. Only an 846 OPS and 23 home runs in 141 games. What a freaking bum. How terrible. Gosh, I would take that in a heartbeat on last year's team. But he was so talented. It was such a big deal that the Rangers signed him. And he performed up to that contract. People give him crap, but he performed up and above the level of expectation put on him with that huge contract and then continue to outperform it and be a Hall of Fame level player for the rest of his career. So he's definitely up there at number two. Number three, some suspense there. Man, I don't know. I'm waiting so long, I'm getting hungry. You know what I do when I get hungry? I go reach for a Built Bar. That's right, this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. It's the new year, which means New Year's resolutions. And, you know, if yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure to include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. Most of these contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has 240 calories, you know, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. And, you know, instead of reaching for those snacks that are not healthy, not good for you, you could, you know, clear those out and throw them away or give them to your kids or, I don't know, somebody else, and replace those snack stashes with some Built Bars. You know, even if you're not a huge fan of working out, you can at least eat something that tastes good and is good for you. So it basically does the work for you. You can go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Rangers.com. Now let's take a look at number three on this list. We've already had A-Rod and Adrian Beltre. At number three, that's right, it's your boy, Corey Seager. He is already, before taking a single swing, the third best Rangers free agent signing since the clock hit Y2K. The guy is phenomenal. He's already won a Rookie of the Year. He is a two-time All-Star, two-time Silver Slugger, World Series MVP, NLCS MVP, World Series winner. The guy is a champion. He is a proven beast with the bat and a perennial All-Star. Last year, he had a 3.7 WAR, a .306 batting average, while also smacking 16 home runs with an on-base of .394. That's a .915 OPS and a .145 OPS plus. For his career, he has a .131 OPS plus. That's higher than Adrian Beltre did. This guy is legit. He is everything the Rangers want in a shortstop, in a star, in a franchise player. And there is a lot of hopes resting on him. Now the Rangers have to be, you know, wary of what happened, obviously, with Alex Rodriguez. The Rangers right now don't have the core that the Rangers had when they signed A-Rod. They don't have a Pudge Rodriguez already there. They already have a bunch of offensive stars. They also don't have a whole lot of pitching depth. So, I mean, but there's not a whole lot of other money to spend. Like, there's plenty more money left around. They obviously signed Marcus Semien to go along with Corey Seager. At that point, the Rangers already had, when they signed A-Rod, they had Pudge, they had Rafael Palmeiro, they had Michael Young, a very, very young Michael Young. They also had an aging Ruben Sierra. I don't want to talk about it. But look at their pitching staff that year. It was awful. They had Darren Oliver, who had over six ERA. Kenny Rogers, who had an ERA over six. Rob Bell, Aaron Mayette, ERAs over seven. And their workhorse of 215 innings, Rick Helling, had a 5.17 ERA. They didn't have a single starting pitcher with an ERA under 4.4. That is not a team built for success. And the Rangers are not going to turn around in one go. But Corey Seager is way up there already before even playing. Is among the best free agent signings in Rangers history. Now, the next one, a name you might be familiar with, a guy who's pretty good, who the Rangers signed after having a breakout year, another breakout year in Toronto. That's right, it's Marcus Semien. He's at number four on this list. Marcus Semien is a guy who's finished top three in MVP voting twice in the last 3 years, had a down year in 2020, which again, who didn't? He's going to be 31 going into this season, but he's coming off a historic year, one of the best years that any second baseman has ever had. 45 home runs and a .334 on base and a .538 slugging percentage and OPS of .873. He also won a Gold Glove and a Silver Slugger. 45 home runs, a record by a second baseman. Played all 162 games. 724 plate appearances. This guy is an absolute workhorse. He also had 39 doubles to go along with those 45 bombs and stole 15 bases, was only caught stealing once. I feel like I keep forgetting that. He's a really good base stealer. But a 133 OPS plus, this guy was well above league average. He was the cream of the crop, the best second baseman in all of baseball last year. He has been getting better and better and better. He is the culture setter. He is the workhorse. He is the everyday guy. And the Rangers are betting big on him. They feel really good about him leading their franchise. He's coming off a 7.3 WAR season. And 2 years ago, he had an 8.4 WAR season. He's also had two other seasons with a WAR of 3.5 or better. This guy just keeps getting better with age. And the Rangers got him to a big, big deal. They believe very highly in him, and they love what they saw with him leading a team in Toronto that couldn't quite get into the playoffs, but it's looking like the Rangers might have a little bit less of a competitive vision. Fewer young stars around to mentor and all that good stuff. There's no Vladdy Jr. waiting in the wings for the Rangers, unfortunately. I would love to have a Vladdy Jr. waiting in the wings. I mean, wouldn't anybody? There's no Bo Bichette waiting in the wings, but he is going to have another fantastic middle infield partner in Corey Seager. Those two together are going to be the best middle infield in all of baseball next year. I feel very confident in saying that, assuming that they can both be healthy and that there is a baseball season and that the lockout can, you know, end relatively quickly. Maybe we'll get a spring training in. who knows? But I feel very confident in saying that Marcus Semien has the cachet, has the gravitas of an Adrian Beltre type. Now, he hasn't had the same success and the same absolute defiance, pure defiance of Father Time and Mother Nature and the lasting effects of aging that Adrian Beltre did. And I'm not saying that he's going to repeat those numbers or that he's going to be as fun playing the field as Adrian Beltre. That would be way too much to put on anybody. But he's had the same kind of a similar type of career as Adrian Beltre did before he got to the Rangers. And he's a guy who the Rangers really needed and is going to spark a much, much more fun season in Texas in 2022 than the past two seasons have been by far. Those two guys are great. They're a lot of fun. The Rangers bet big on them. But if you want to bet big, you should go to betonline.ag. BetOnline would like to wish everybody a happy new year as we continue the march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the best sports wagering action in 2022. A new year, a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, I know we're halfway into the episode, and I've only gotten through the first three, but those are the three biggest, honestly. The rest of these are going to be much faster that I'm going to get through. But number four on my list, five. We did get through four. Number five on my list is Yu Darvish, a guy who I am counting as a free agent signing, even though he was an international free agent signing. He wasn't one of the J2 bonus signing babies. He was an actual free agent, and the Rangers had to compete with him for other players. He didn't have to go through the minor league system. He just came in and was, so I'm counting him as a free agent. This guy was phenomenal in Texas, just downright phenomenal. Four All-Star seasons, two top 10 Cy Young finishes, including his first year. He finished top 10 in Cy Young voting and third in Rookie of the Year voting. I can't remember exactly who was there that he was competing against to win Rookie of the Year. Oh, who was it? Oh, it was Mike Trout. And Yoenis Cespedes also had a phenomenal year. I still think that he should have been voted higher than Yoenis Cespedes. That's fine. It's okay. I'll live with it. Him losing the Rookie of the Year award to Mike Trout, who had a 10.5 WAR in his first full season in the big leagues, which is downright stupid and hilarious. You're not going to win Rookie of the Year over that guy, and he shouldn't have been denied MVP, but that's a whole other discussion. It doesn't matter. The Rangers are not signing Mike Trout, so I don't think that he is going to ever appear in the Rangers' top whatever free agent signings, because I'm pretty sure he's extended, has an extended contract till he's like 40 years old or something like that, as he said. But anyway, Yu Darvish was phenomenal. In his best year, he finished second in Cy Young voting, also got MVP votes, had 277 strikeouts in 209 2/3 innings, a 2.83 ERA. This guy was ridiculous, a 1.45 ERA plus, and 11.9 strikeouts per nine innings. This guy was unhittable, absolutely unhittable. Missed the 2015 season with Tommy John surgery. Had a great 2014, ended up ending that season early to get the Tommy John surgery. Then he would miss all of 2015. Come back in 2016 and 2017, his last year in Texas. Still bum that he ended up being traded, but he still made an All-Star selection in 137 innings and struck out 148 batters that year before being traded to the Dodgers. And things didn't go super well for him after that, except for in 2020 when he was phenomenal. And the first half of 2021, this guy was ridiculously good for the Texas Rangers, a great signing. And don't let anyone tell you differently who talks to you about shutdown innings. Just tell them to shut up. Yu Darvish is amazing, and if you didn't appreciate him enough, it's your fault that he's gone and the Rangers underperforming. But besides that, it's also their fault. Anyway, number six on this list, Lance Lynn, a guy who was with the Rangers for 3 years. He signed a big deal, 2 years of his 3-year deal, signed a big deal with the Rangers, would have been an All-Star in 2020 had there been an All-Star game. Through led the league with 84 innings thrown that year. In batters faced, he led the league in back-to-back years, 875 batters faced in 2019 and 344 in 2020. Finished top six in Cy Young voting back-to-back years, fifth in 2019. I don't know why the hell he wasn't an all-star if he was doing that well, which he was in 2019. Like, it still bothers me, all this stupid all-star voting that they get wrong so many times. But in his first year in Texas, the Rangers fixed him just right away, which didn't happen as much with some of the other signings like him in Minor and Kyle Gibson. But 208 innings, 246 strikeouts, a 367 ERA. In 2020, a 332 ERA in 84 innings and struck out 89 batters. Then got traded to the Chicago White Sox for Dane Dunning and finished third in Cy Young voting. Technically, made an all-star team at the end of his three-year deal with Texas, which was also most definitely on the cheap. Great signing, great value signing, great value for the Rangers. And, you know, provided some fun on some really, really trash teams. Next on this list, we have number seven, Mike Minor. Mike Minor was an all-star, came to the Rangers as a reliever after one season of being a reliever in Kansas City and had two full years that he missed, hadn't been a starting pitcher in a long, long time, didn't do super great in his first year, still pretty solid for his first year transitioning back to the rotation, 418 ERA in 157 innings. Then his all-star season, 2019, was just downright excellent, 359 ERA, a 208 innings, and exactly 200 strikeouts, finished eighth in Cy Young voting, was an all-star that year, and I believe led all pitchers with his 7.8 baseball reference war. The year before, he had a 3.3 baseball reference war. Wasn't super great the first half of 2020. Was still able to be traded for some prospects that look like they might end up being all right. Pretty solid value signing for the Rangers at number seven. Number eight on this list is a fan favorite, a beloved former homegrown, but I'm counting him as a signing because he came back to Texas as a free agent signing, a completely different pitcher. That's right, it's Colby Lewis, signed in 2010, pitched for the Rangers for 3 years, missed the 2013 season, but came back and pitched for three more years. He was excellent in Texas. He was very consistent. He didn't get any votes for Cy Young or for MVP, wasn't an all-star, but was nails in the postseason, was consistent for the Rangers, and he was exactly what the Rangers needed him to be. His first year back in Texas, 2010, a 372 ERA, 201 innings, and 196 strikeouts. The next year, not as great, but still solid in 2011, 440 ERA, 200 and a third innings, 169 strikeouts, which I think is pretty nice. Then in 2020, a 343 ERA in 16 starts, 105 innings, and 93 strikeouts. This guy was super consistent, was very, very valuable for the Rangers, had a 3.7 war season that first year back. Then his final season in 116 innings, he had a 2.4 war season, according to Baseball Reference. A solid way to go out as a 36-year-old with a 371 ERA in 116 innings. This guy was important for the Rangers, came up in big moments, and is much beloved by this fan base, and deservedly so. Now, y'all might hit me for number nine on my list, but I was kind of scratching the bottom of the barrel. But this guy deserves to be on here on this top 10 list. That's right, it's Shin-Soo Choo. Made an all-star team in 2018, had a phenomenal DH season. The Rangers finally realized that they should put him at DH, a 2.7 war season. Also had a 3.2 war season in 2015 when he was still playing the field, 149 games there. He was consistent. He was a mentor for the Rangers. The Rangers needed him, and they needed his production at the top of the lineup. 363 on base percentage for his career in 799 games with the Rangers over 7 years. A 429 slugging percentage, 114 home runs, 8 triples, 142 doubles. The guy was a walk machine, 419 walks, so a walk basically every other game. This guy was consistent. He was reliable. He was a liability in the field, which is why his war wasn't as high as it was. He should have been switched to DH a little bit sooner, but this guy was unfairly pegged for his contract, which he pretty much lived up to. The guy was fine. He was solid. He wasn't an all-star, except for 1 year when he was. Wasn't a Silver Slug winner, but he was an important cog in those Rangers teams. He provided much needed insurance at the top of that lineup. He wasn't the one, he wasn't going to be expected to be the big bat in the lineup. He was never expected to do that. That was Adrian Beltre and Prince Fielder and Ian Kinsler at the time. Those were the guys who were going to do that. He was going to be the one getting on base so they could drive him in so they could score a whole bunch of runs. And that's exactly what he did. He gets a lot too much hate, but this guy was a valuable player and much beloved in the clubhouse. And I loved him being on the Rangers. So there you go, at number 9. And at number 10, we have Gary Matthews, a very valuable player for the Rangers. Made an all-star team in 2006, was with the Rangers from 2004 all the way to 2006, 3 seasons in Texas. Didn't play as many games in 2004, only 87 games there, but had an .811 OPS, 11 home runs in that span. And a .350 on-base percentage. This guy was extremely valuable, played very good defense, and made an all-star team in his time here in Texas. That year he made an all-star team in 2006. He had a 5.2 WAR season. He was ridiculously good, played in 147 games, 698 plate appearances, hit .313, an on-base of .379, and a slugging percentage of .495. Wasn't a big home run hitter, but was a big elite defender. 19 home runs that year, 44 doubles and 6 triples. This guy was excellent and exactly what the Rangers needed him to be. Not as great on the bases, 10 stolen bases to 7 caught stealing, but the guy provided a whole lot of value in Texas while he was there. Had a 1.9 WAR season in the 87 games he played in his first year here in 2004, a 3 WAR season in 131 games in 2005 as a 30-year-old, and then again a 5.2 WAR season in 2006 when he made an all-star team. Well done. Much appreciated. Good job. You made it into the top 10. That's my top 10. There are a few other guys that I wanted to mention that I feel like deserve some love. Kyle Gibson. He didn't do well in his first year here, and that's why I didn't include him. Then he was traded, and the 1 year that he actually did do well, he did make an all-star team, and he played, pitched in about 31 games, I believe, for Texas, and the Rangers were able to trade him for a guy who has a whole lot of upside, so, you know, maybe that'll pay off well. And he did very, very well. He had a, where we go? I think it was about 3 WAR. Where did we go? Why am I on his hitting statistics? All right, there we are. And his few games in Texas, his about half a season, he had a 3.2 WAR season. 113 innings, 3.2 WAR. If he'd finished out the season in Texas, he probably would have had about a 5 WAR season. That was the pace he was on. And, you know, he did well in Texas. 31 starts, 180 innings. So it's about enough to make a judgment. 3.79 ERA there, which is just, like, pretty good. But he did so poorly his first year here. It kind of wrecks how good he did in the 2021 season in terms of me ranking him in the top 10. He was close, Gary Matthews, but not quite enough. Marlon Byrd, also another pretty solid signing for the Rangers. Andrew Cashner, people forget that he had a really, really good season for the Rangers in his 1 year here in 2017. Just such a weird Texas Rangers team and a 4.7 WAR season, the highest of his career by far. The only other time he even got close was a 2.8 WAR season in Baltimore in 2019, when he only pitched in 96 innings, so maybe he was almost on that pace. It was such a weird year, that 2017 team. Also, Ian Desmond, another very honorable mention, much beloved, one of the better-looking Rangers to sign with the team in my Rangers fandom. Only there 1 year, made an all-star appearance, switched from shortstop to center field, and then signed a god-awful deal in Colorado, which he is still in the league. We sat out the last couple of years hoping that he can get a deal to sign somewhere and not play first base. I don't know why the heck Colorado did that, but they're a whole mess. And that doesn't undermine anything that he did in Texas and the love that he deservedly gets whenever he comes to Texas. So that's it. Those are my top 30. If you have an issue with them, if there's somebody that I missed, something that I didn't even honorably mentioned that deserves to be mentioned in an honorable way, sound off in the comments on YouTube or on Twitter at Bryce Patrick or the show at Locked On Rangers. Go ahead and subscribe on YouTube if you're not already. Thank you guys so much for listening. That's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Rangers. Until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.